Every live event is filled with moments of excitement. LiveSource is a new game-changing app that allows you to create auctions instantly during these moments, as the crowd's excitement is at a fevered pitch. Imagine, after spectacular moments, you could remove any item from the field of play and place it into a live auction in less than a minute while the game is still on. Imagine the fans in attendance bidding on and winning one-of-a-kind memorabilia and experiences from that event while the event is still going on. LiveSource handles the heavy lifting so that there are no limits on what can be sold or when it can be sold. Auctions can be created in less than 60 seconds, at which time the app immediately notifies fans to start bidding, determines the winning bidder, and arranges payment and delivery moments later. Excite your audience with highly shareable moments. Motivate more fans to attend your event, increase revenue. With LiveSource, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Well, it definitely is as easy as 1, 2, 3. LiveSource is a pretty easy to use platform, great asset for teams, you know, athletes, properties, pretty much everything. So check out livesourceapp.com. We're back for another fun show. Today I've got Ashley Chalk with us. How's it going, Ashley?
It's going very well. Nice to be here.
Well, thanks for joining me. I know, I was probably bugging you to jump on and share your story, but it's like I was looking at, you know, your LinkedIn, and it's like, you know, we've kind of crossed paths, you know, pretty close to each other as far as some of the ventures. So always love hearing the stories of, you know, the journey. You know, how'd you get to where you are now? I mean, currently you're a vice president of business development. Would love to learn more. So kind of share with us, you know, where you're from and kind of how you got started, where you went to school.
Yeah. I've got a pretty unique and diverse background. Was definitely not the traditional story of growing up in a place and staying in that same place. But that was what I think contributed to my overall journey and where I've ended up at this point. But I was born in the Midwest, but actually raised in West Texas in El Paso. Went to school in Dallas. And from there, the journey took off. Always had a passion for sports and entertainment. Played sports myself. Was able to play tennis even in college, which was a lot of fun. But from there, you know, this was back when sports management programs didn't exist, you know, and it was more so of, you know, who do you know to try to get into one of those sports teams you love to get an opportunity. And what resulted for me was seeing a ad on campus for an internship program with the Walt Disney World Company. And that internship was an incredible opportunity for me that continued to open up doors. When that concluded, took another internship in minor league baseball with the West Michigan Whitecaps. Absolutely amazing organization from ownership and leadership on down with what they continue to do there. And that really molded where I believe I understood where I thrived. And that was in sales, and really never thought like sales would be my journey. But that's where it kicked off. So from there, I was able to start my, let's call it my big kid job in motorsports after internship. So joined Daytona International Speedway. And the journey continued from there. So motorsports to international theme park company, Merlin Entertainments Group, where I know we crossed paths there at Legoland Florida Resort. And from there went on to Feld Entertainment, which is another incredible international live entertainment company with an incredible portfolio. Spent 5 years from there. And then I probably had one of the most interesting 12 months of my career working in esports. And then realized my passion was really in motorsports. And at this point in your career, when you've been doing this for, you know, over two decades, you want to be where you love, and had this phenomenal opportunity to have a full circle and basically come back home. And that's where I'm at now at Chip Ganassi Racing, and couldn't be happier to be part of this incredible first-class organization.
Going back to, like, when you were in college, like, at what point did you kind of, you know, say, okay, sports and entertainment was kind of that direction? Like, did you know that going in that's what you wanted to get into after school?
To be honest, I knew when I was a kid. I was in theater. I played the piano. I played sports. So that entire world was everything that I knew since I was a small kid, you know, starting out, quite frankly, with playing the piano. I was surrounded by sports because my dad played ball in college. I have an older sister that played basketball. So you know, sports was just always ingrained in me. So I just knew I was never going to be that traditional 9-to-5, you know, wasn't going to be a doctor or an engineer, from that standpoint. Considered being a lawyer for a second, you know, in the entertainment sense, but then understood that that probably wasn't going to be the best path for me. But yeah, Andrew, it was really, I feel like it was instilled in me at a very young age, and just knew that and just figured it out from there.
And then how about, like, on the sales side? I mean, that's always the, you know, I'd say probably the easiest way to get in, you know, right out of college, right? So it's like, you really find out who you are pretty quickly, you know, and you either like it or you don't. You adapt or move on. So what was that experience like?
You hit the nail on the head there. Sales is not for everyone. Either you like it or you don't like it. And if you don't like it and you're trying to force it, forget it, walk away, because you won't be successful, because it is a grind. But as many people that know me, if they ask me, like, hey, what do you do for a living? Traditionally, I don't even ever say sales, because it's the creative aspect that I really fell in love with. It's identifying what that opportunity can is and how to bring it to life with, you know, that respective organization that I've been with. But minor league baseball, it's no joke. I mean, you're doing cold calls nonstop. And when it's not in season, there's no baseball games, and you're just coming in and grinding in your cube and doing those outbounds. And let's face it, you're getting told no more times in that moment, you know, than you ever have in your entire life, even from your mom and dad telling you no. You grow some thick skin, but you also understand at the end of the day, for me, it was sales, was being able to connect with people and have a conversation. And I love that. I love to be able to meet new people. And even though it may not result in a sale, or we may not come to an agreement for a deal, there's a connection that's been made. And you never know how that can come back full circle down the road.
I've seen that too. It's like, hey, you know what? It's not a deal now, but in 3 years from now, I've seen deals like years down the road. And it's like, it's from that initial relationship and, you know, how you present yourself, how you handle rejection.
Absolutely.
That, you know, could affect you positively or negatively in the future. So, you know, definitely a pretty cool aspect. So when you went to motorsports for the first time, was it still on the ticketing, you know, side of things, or were you doing partnership?
Yeah, it was business development. So I think that was really after the minor league baseball, was fortunate to be able to get that first step there at Daytona National Speedway from a business development. So my first task at hand was developing the Central Florida market and really showcasing the hospitality options that we have there at the track and building upon that. So it was pure business development. And then growing from there of creating new fan hospitality experiences. And then also starting to dip my toes into the world of sponsorship as well, which is definitely has been what I've been doing after that. And that's what I love. And I think that's where the creative aspect really came in realizing that I can marry a couple of those different aspects that I thrive around.
What I think is kind of cool about your background is, you know, you've been on that side of it, and then you've been on the property side too, which, you know, really gives you a unique look where you have to get creative because it's your ad spend that you're spending with people and creating partnerships and sponsorships. So kind of how did that, you know, transition go for you from, you know, say the sales side to, you know, the marketing side?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm still in a revenue generating role. You know, trust me, there's days that I'd like to be spending someone else's money and not asking for money. I mean, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I think right in sales, there's always a marketing aspect. There has to be, because that's what you're trying to identify when you're having those conversations with that potential prospect of, you know, how can we get your marketing dollars? And in my opinion, not look at it as a traditional sponsorship, right? We can't approach things that way anymore. Yeah, it may be a sponsorship line item in their budget, but at the end of the day, it could include from marketing, from digital, from hospitality. I mean, there's a plethora of different ways that you can approach that. So it's definitely been unique to be on, like you said, the property side, evaluating that, seeing how we do business. So then it helps me to have those conversations when it comes to trying to secure those dollars from a brand partnership.
Yeah. How did it kind of work when you were with Feld? Because that's like a huge touring operation and, you know, I'm sure that they have it broken down into segments, but I mean, you know, a single team is one thing and then, you know, an entertainment complex is another, and now like multiple tours, international, you know, you're really kind of getting a little taste of everything, you know, at this point.
Absolutely. You know, for those that aren't aware of Feld Entertainment, so they're the largest live family entertainment company in the world. So they have Disney on Ice to Monster Jam to Supercross, Sesame Street Live. So they have this incredible portfolio of IPs. But to your point, Andrew, we're a live touring company. We don't own the venues that we go into. So that becomes a unique asset of understanding the relationships that we have with those properties and where we can have experiences come to life. But really my approach, you know, when I was at Feld and once I got in there and kind of learned what could tick was really focusing more so on the journey for a consumer leading up to the live event and what could take place in market, whether it was through shopper marketing programs, utilizing assets like Monster Jam trucks to do appearances. And what does that mean, you know, to drive foot traffic to the continuation of post live event. So it was really a full journey outside of just focusing on what takes place at the actual live event. So needless to say, that team there at Feld is extremely creative in many different ways when it comes to bringing those partnerships to life.
Yeah, I've kind of followed their progress. And I mean, they're right down the street. I live in Central Florida. I live down at Fort Myers. So they're right in between the two. And I've always thought it was a pretty, pretty cool concept.
Oh, it is. I mean, they've been around for 50 plus years. You know, it all started with the Ringling Circus. And that's where the Feld family started the foundation of that company and went from there. So it's pretty remarkable.
So tell me about the gaming side, because that is so my son, he's 17. He's into gaming. He streams now. Not making a ton. Makes about $1,000 a month. He's 17 through Twitch. But like, you know, we set up a little company called Joker Gaming for him. But I'm trying to learn more about that. I feel like a dinosaur. I've been in minor league sports my whole life. I feel like I know that great, but I can't wrap my head around this. So like, how was that transition kind of going into, I mean, you know, it's evolving at a rapid pace right now.
It's always evolving. Listen, that was a unique experience for me. I was incredibly fortunate to be able to come in there. You know, this team was backed by Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys and the Goff family, another wonderful family on the real estate side there in Texas. So there was a lot of enticing elements for me to leave Feld and step into this space that we all know is continuing to boom. What was unique about it is starting in a new industry during the year of a pandemic. So there were a lot of learning curves that I think were different from that just because of the dynamics of last year. The one thing while I was there is every day you're learning something new, because like you said, there is something always new popping up. These teams have to continue to evolve outside of just the competitive set. You know, there's the content creator side. There's so many different aspects to continue to have engagement, regardless of how many games, you know, you're competing in. It is an interesting dynamic being on the team side versus on the publisher side versus, you know, there's so many different avenues within esports and gaming. And a lot of people don't understand, you know, there is all these different dynamics. But from the team side, all I can say is that I was fortunate to learn and had some good people around me that really made sure that I had the good baptism by fire to understand what I needed to understand. It is an incredible community just overall. They are some of the most authentic community followers. I thought NASCAR fans were diehard. I mean, gaming is next level from that standpoint. So it's truly understanding, like, how do you connect with them without it feeling like you're just slapping a brand logo on there, you know? But at the end of the day, all of these esports teams, they're competing for the same dollars from these sponsor brands. And so I think there's a lot of learnings and a lot of growth that still is to come on the team side, which is where I was at.
So what kind of got you back into the racing side of things? Like, you know, why jump back into that?
Yeah, like I said, you know, when you've been selling for two decades within sports entertainment, you really have to be passionate, right? And I think that was one of those moments in my career that I took a leap into an industry that I was not familiar with, but was excited to learn, which I'm always wanting to learn new aspects. And, you know, realized at the end of the day where my passions were, and that was in motorsports. And I think the other piece of it, too, is the fact that, you know, Ganassi Racing also has this incredible portfolio to offer up. You know, it's not just one vertical, you know, just in NASCAR. I mean, we're in four different series. And I've been really fortunate at Complexity. You know, they were in a multitude of different gaming titles competing. So you could talk about FIFA to Madden to Apex to Counter-Strike. And same thing at Feld. And I think that's where I've always enjoyed was being able to approach someone and say, hey, look at this toolbox that
yeah,
we have.
Yeah, one dimensional. You know?
Correct. Yeah. And so yeah, listen, I like going fast. So I needed to get back into something that was fast, and that was motorsports.
Nice. No, that's, I love, you know, kind of on the motorsports side of things. I haven't been like, you know, I didn't grow up watching it or anything like that. But what I really have paid attention to is, you know, the partnership side, like, you know, motorsports has done a great job, you know, from way back in the day, even, you know, with, you know, getting creative and putting together, you know, all the partners that come in. So love that aspect of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, from being able to start out on the track side and understanding what it means to bring the foot traffic in, right? Put the butts in seats in order for them to enjoy the show. And now to be on the aspect of the performance side to make sure that the show is awesome. You know, it's two different aspects, and just having a lot of fun at this point, because I do believe there is a lot transpiring in the world of motorsports, regardless if it's NASCAR or IndyCar. I mean, look at our IndyCar program. I mean, we're stacked. I mean, we have Jimmy Johnson, 7-time NASCAR champion, you know, that has come over into IndyCar. We have Scott Dixon, who has an incredible history of winning. Alex Palau, this new kid from Spain that we signed 2 years ago. And then, of course, Tony Kanaan as well. I mean, so we have these names, and it's just, it's so exciting. And then for another piece, Chip just entered in with the likes of ownership like Lewis Hamilton and Andretti into Extreme E. And Extreme E is this new electric off-road racing that's taking place in 5 different countries in the most remote locations. So you're starting to tap into, I believe, the non-traditional motorsports fan, and you're really opening up, you know, this new narrative to talk about just the overall experience, and that it goes, the competitive aspect is so important, but it goes beyond even the competitive aspect, you know, really what does it take to get to that point? And so really having a fun time diving into that.
What kind of, do you guys use any like, you know, platforms to help on the sales or any tools that you, you know, have used over the years that you really feel have helped you?
Yeah, listen, it's all about data at the end of the day. You can have the best idea in the world, but brands are only being, you know, more, I would say cautious, but a lot more sophisticated, right? It's no more of, hey, we're great, we're awesome, we're on TV every weekend, you can put a logo, let's just sell as if it's real estate. You know, that's long time gone. And I don't believe many people are selling like that anymore, because you're going to get called on the carpet for that. So having those data and analytics is important, because you want to show that there's metrics tied off to the different activation elements that you're putting into a brand partnership proposal. And that's important for retention and renewal of a partnership. So, I mean, there's so many different platforms out there now. So I think it's what works best for you as an organization. And, you know, and you have the YouGovs of the world that are also getting very laser focused on specific things, just like esports, you know, to where you can dive into that. So, there's so many different ones out there, but we definitely use data and analytics. We definitely use CRM systems. You know, on the sales side, I don't care if you're a party of one or you're a whole team. Having a CRM is so important, because you want to have those historicals, because you don't know how things will ebb and flow with, you know, leadership coming in and out.
Oh yeah, no, it's crucial. How about on like the like prospecting side? I mean, are you a fan of like, you know, I don't know if you use LinkedIn Sales Navigator or if you're, you know, you use any tools in conjunction with LinkedIn?
Yeah, I have found LinkedIn to still be extremely successful if your approach is correct from that bit. It's truly about building a relationship. If you're going in for a hardcore, you know, core sale right off the bat on LinkedIn, I don't know how that can work unless it's, you know, something that's specific to someone that's looking for
more transactional, probably.
But from our world, different approach, but it's been very helpful. I think it's always about using your existing network and trying to get those warm introductions, so you at least have some authentic points of, you know, connectivity from that standpoint. We do have a lead generator. We're fortunate to have a team built out at Ganassi that has that support from a business intelligence standpoint that are ensuring leads are legit, right? So we're not spinning our wheels, no pun intended, wasting our time going after folks that aren't who we would want to align with Ganassi, right? So we are a first-class organization, and our partnerships should reflect that as well.
Yeah, it's not just about who's willing to spend money. It's
correct.
How does that partnership really and company, you know, their beliefs and vision align with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, and then it makes sense to the fans as well. You know, it has to tie off to something that makes sense for everybody to get on board or excited about.
So how about any cool or unusual activations that you've been a part of?
I think one of the coolest ones, I mean, you can't go wrong when you get to play with Lego bricks, you know, from that standpoint. So just because we had our paths crossed there, I'll definitely use an example from that park. So we had a lot of successes there at that park with partnerships, in my belief. I think the coolest one, I'll share a coolest one and a unique one. I think the coolest one was when we entered into a partnership with Ford. We had an attraction for kids to truly get their first driving lessons. So they were able to get on those little electric cars that actually weren't on a rail that, you know, prohibited you from going, like you could free for all out there. So they legit were able to have a driving experience. And Ford was an incredible partner that came on, saw value in that, right? Let's start to get brand affinity at a young age with their first driver's license. And as a result of that, Ford saw an opportunity to showcase one of their premier vehicles that year, and that was the new Explorer. So as a result of that, we all came together and a Ford Explorer, two size and scale, completely made out of Lego brick and Duplo bricks, was developed, and we rolled it off of the Ford Explorer Chicago assembly plant line. And it was so cool to see that all come to life and to see all the Ford employees there on the floor, see that come rolling off the line. So that was a really unique piece that we were able to build off of then from a media tour as it came from Chicago down to Florida to the installation there at the attraction. So that was a really fun one to see come to life with the team. And I think another unique one was one that you wouldn't think of. It was the Department of Agricultural and Consumer Services for Florida. So fresh from Florida, we saw an opportunity with a greenhouse and bringing that to life to educate families on the agriculture and all the different commodities that come out of Florida and how Florida touches things on an international basis as well. So it was a really fun walkthrough exhibit, but a lot of hands-on experiences, and it allowed Fresh from Florida too to partner with a lot of their different hot sauce companies, Gator jerky, et cetera, that we were able to turn into a gift shop upon exit, because, you know, that's necessary at theme parks, right? You always have to get exited out into a wonderful gift shop experience. Right. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. How about like throughout your career, how would you say relationships have affected your career? Because I talk about it a lot just with especially a lot of the young people that reach out to me on LinkedIn or whatever and want advice. And relationships is a big thing I like to talk about.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the relationships and the network that I've had and continue to build upon and continue to nurture. It takes a lot of work from that standpoint. And it's not just calling someone up when you need something. It's having that continual dialogue from that piece. And I was really fortunate to have a great upbringing. My dad was successful with General Motors and worked his way up from the bottom and, you know, was able to learn a lot from him. And that was one of the biggest things was understanding your network and building upon that and keeping up with that. I mean, from my transition from West Michigan Whitecaps to Daytona International Speedway was as a result of someone leaving the Whitecaps and being hired down at International Speedway Corporation and getting a door open, you know, for me from that standpoint. And then same thing of where I'm at now, it's as a result of relationships from Feld Entertainment, but I can zigzag and cross, you know, my entire journey. I mean, even back from being a kid and getting auditions for a theater, you know, it's all about those relationships, and you should look at, you know, those professional relationships as truly as friends in a lot of capacities, you know, from that bit. You'll have that smaller group that does become friends, but you will always have those professional network to lean on, to grow, to continue to learn from as well. So it is at the utmost importance for continued success, regardless of your path.
Yeah. And I like what you said too, just, you know, not when it's convenient, you know, for you to reach out to them. I mean, be genuine, you know, and, you know, how can you help? You know, I was like, how can I help you? How can I, and not expect anything in return. I'll be honest, probably the first half of my career, I had the mindset of what can you do for me as opposed to the other way around. And I think as I get older, I finally kind of like, my mindset is like complete opposite. And it's like, I feel so much more progression in so many areas by doing it you know, that way and being genuine. So definitely different. How about another thing too, we talk about a lot is, you know, being flexible. I mean, you've kind of, you had to make a couple moves.
Just a few.
And, me too. And it's like, now I'm 42. So it's like, I want to move less now.
Right.
But I still, you know, have aspirations of certain things. So, how did that kind of play into your mindset and just being flexible like that?
Yeah, I think the only thing for myself, and this is not for everybody, right? Like, I think flexibility is necessary if you truly want to continue to grow. And especially in this crazy, fun, dynamic world of sports and entertainment, you know, especially when you're getting up and going in your 20s and 30s, like you better have flexibility, but you might find something that you're content at. So it's not always for everybody to have that desire to want to move. But for myself growing up, you know, we lived in a couple of different places. And even on an international standpoint that I was able to live with my mom and dad growing up with my dad with General Motors. So I was exposed to a lot at a young age, seeing the world, you know, and I've said this in a couple of different conversations like this, like when you get exposed to the world at that capacity at a young age, it's kind of hard to stop and not always know like what's out there and the potential. But to your point, I've been fortunate to where when those opportunities came up, I jumped on them. And I'm at that point now where I don't want to move, you know, I'm content. I love where I'm at, you know, and I look forward to remaining in that capacity. But yeah, I definitely think there is an element of paying your dues, and that does require sometimes relocating.
Yeah. And just sometimes there's just not opportunities from within, you know?
Correct. You know, yeah. So, you reach your ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and I know from a leadership standpoint, you know, I always try to help people as well. If there's not an opportunity currently within our company, I don't want to hold them back. So, you know, how can I help them progress their career as well? And that's really helped too, just with other recruiting and reputation when it comes to trying to attract talent.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. It's unique when you have leadership that trusts you and is, you know, you've earned their trust. You've proven yourself that, you know, they may recognize that they can't advance you anymore because of the overall company structure, and that they verbally say, however I can help you, please let me know. And it truly being genuine, not a moment of, you know, could this be a moment where I'm really going to, you know, take myself back if I go, oh yes, now I'd like to go do this because I can't go. But you know, you've got to evaluate that when someone says that to you. But I've been fortunate in that. And I think each of us, you know, whatever your goals are, you're going to recognize where things might get stagnant and you're not being challenged anymore. You're not learning anything more. And it also could be the flip side where you have horrible leadership and horrible culture and you want to get out, you know? So there's all different types of dynamics for why those choices have to be made.
Yeah, definitely. Couple last things. I always like, you know, any sports teams that you follow specifically.
Well, I was baptized into being a Los Angeles Dodgers fan because of my dad at birth. So I have definitely followed them from that standpoint. So that's definitely probably.
Come on, you just started liking them because they won.
No, same thing with us being a Tampa Bay Buccaneers family. I mean, we were season ticket holders for 15 years, you know. So, yeah, it's.
You're getting lucky here. What are the other teams? Maybe they'll win this year.
College is Texas Longhorns. You know, NBA, I just in general just have enjoyed, you know, watching games, and depending on what city I live in, always enjoy going to games. And the same thing with NHL. I mean, you know, from being in that area of Florida, the Tampa Bay Lightning, those were always great games. And during my time in Dallas, Dallas Stars and, you know, the Mavs there, I mean, incredible two organizations. And just the fan experience is always fun for me from that standpoint when it comes to experiencing those games. But, you know, those are teams that I've always loved. But, you know, if I have the opportunity to not work and go enjoy a sporting event or a live event, I'll be there.
Can you really, and like, do you really enjoy them when you go? Like, I find myself just thinking business when I'm there. Like, I mean, I watch the games, but I'm like thinking, okay, well, how much revenue did they just bring in tonight?
Yeah, you're very accurate. I'm looking more so of who are their sponsors, what activations are happening, right, like what's transpiring from a logistics and operations side over here. But, you know, that's just the nature of this beast, right? It doesn't really turn off, but I don't find it to be a fault. You know, I just feel bad for whoever's sitting next to me because I'll start asking them questions, you know, of who's like, what do you guys think about this? But I love it. I think that's why I enjoy still going, you know, on a personal level, because I can focus on that versus probably being concerned about whatever partner, you know, I'm hosting, making sure they're having a wonderful time. And being able to truly take it all in.
Yeah. All right. Last thing. How about any recommendations for kids in college or just, you know, kind of just starting out in their career in sports? Any kind of feedback that you would kind of give them?
Absolutely. I can just give you a real time example. Last week, I had this young man out of Bentonville. He's a sophomore in high school, junior in high school, reached out to me and expressed his interest in wanting to get into sports entertainment, was very specific that he has interest in business development and sponsorship and wanted 20 minutes of my time to ask me 5 questions. I was like, absolutely. Anybody that has that gumption to do that, like, that's our duty at this point, you know, to give back from that standpoint. And he came prepared to the conversation. He had those questions. And one thing that he asked at the end that every college high school person that wants to get into this industry needs to ask, he said, thank you for your time. Are there 2 or 3 other people you could recommend for me to have a conversation with? And I was like,
Let's hire him now.
How old are you? Can I go ahead and hire you? I was like, there's so many people, you know, that don't even have that wherewithal of what that means. So I think that right there is a great point of advice of coming prepared to a conversation, not being afraid to reach out to network and using that at the end of, you know, what are 2 or 3 other people from your network that you think I could benefit from knowing I want to do X? You have to be specific, you know, when you're asking those types of requests. I think the second bucket is internships. I know that internships may not seem, you know, appealing to most from that standpoint, but for those that are on the fence that may not truly grasp like what area of this industry they want to go into, that's the point of internships. Like, you get exposed to all the different types of departments in one capacity or another. Take advantage of that, because you want to talk about laying the foundation of starting your network in this industry, that's where it also begins. So those would be my 2 buckets of just some little bit of advice.
No, that's great advice. I mean, I think you hit it on the head, and those are things I talk about a lot on the internship side. And, but yeah, I mean, it's great to see some drive, you know, as well, like from your person who had reached out to you, and reach out to as many people as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone will probably take the time, unfortunately, but there's a lot of people like Ashley, myself, and others out there that
absolutely
will. So, you know, just do it. But Ashley, I want to thank you for joining me. It was fun chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.